Welcome back to the revolution. It's your girl, DJ Narc. So, funny thing happened. I recorded about 15 minutes and then my son called. And then I did the rest of the 50. So, we've got the 50. But when I went back and listened to the first 15, it had recorded through my Bluetooth speaker because I'd been listening to music earlier. So, it sounded awful. And I was like, oh, that sucks. But we've got this great, 50-minute bit here. So, I can go back and just redo the first part. And I'm glad that I'm doing it this way because I listened to it before coming back and doing this. And it's really interesting. I've always been that person who like reads over what they've written and realizes that I need to go back and rewrite it now because the conclusions I've come to at the end are so good that they need to be put into the beginning to make it actually make sense instead of just making people follow my stream of consciousness. You know, I had to learn how to restructure like that for school. But it works here as well, format-wise. So the story I open with and the story I'm alluding to in the second part, so you're not confused, is of my first boyfriend. So freshman year, this guy, brother of one of the girls in my class, is like around. All the seniors when I was a freshman were in love with him. They were a fabulous group of seniors. They're all like news anchors and married to princes and all types of CEOs and all types of stuffs now. So they were all really into this guy. Okay. He was 4 years older than us. At sophomore year, I went to Spain with a group of the girls from my class. Actually, not just from the class, but from the school. And on that trip, I became friends with the girl. So I was around a lot, I guess. I mean, relatively. My parents didn't really let me go anywhere, so it's very relative. But when I was around, and I was around her brother, who was super hot, I was totally infatuated with him. He would just never, like, pay any mind to me at all. Completely ignored me, like I wasn't there. The only time in 4 years that he spoke to me directly was when we went to one of his shows. He was also a musician, like, you know, whatever. And I was sitting on his amp and he said, "You're sitting on the amp. Will you move, please?" And I was like, oh, yes, I'm sorry. And then for like the next year, I was like, oh my God, your brother spoke to me. Anyway, so 4 years go by, nothing doing, nothing going. You know, like I dated someone my own age, like someone who was also like, should have been in high school, but wasn't. That's a whole other story. And then I'm 18, graduate from, turn 18 end of May, graduate early June, go to all the graduation parties, go to my friend's party. Her brother is there. This person who's never said more than that one sentence to me that I've been like dying over for 4 years comes up to me and says, "Hey, Amber." And I'm like, whoa, this motherfucker knows my name? Yes, hello. And he's like, "How old are you?" It's like, "I just turned 18. He was like, "Right, you want to go out tomorrow?" I was like, "Go out? What do you mean go out?" He's like, "Go out. You want to go out with me tomorrow?" And I was like, "Yeah, out, out." My dumb ass. I'm like, "Go out, out." Like, no fucking way. he was like, yeah, out, out. So I had, the most satisfying teenage satisfying summer. I don't know how, what order to put those words. Like for 4 years, I was like fantasizing about how cool it would be to like be his girlfriend, you know, and like go places with him and go to parties with him. And if my friends were there and this and that and go here and go there and do this and do that. And then in that one summer, we went to all the parties together and we did stuff together, or we tried to leave the house to do stuff together. I stayed out all night and caused like a panic amongst all the Pakistani people on the Upper West Side, you know, like all types of shit, like scandalous shit. Broke a bed, you know, like just stuff. Like, we were wild. And it was just such a, like, I got so lucky is why I mention it. I got so lucky. It was such a kind, like, nice experience. And I think that word nice gets such a bad rap. It has such a pejorative connotation when it comes to dating and to men. But I think as someone who's been super sheltered and then went to an all-girls school, I think nice is a huge compliment, because I was so, and am still so apprehensive about, like, showing too much skin, showing too much shape. Like, I'll go through these periods where I wear really baggy stuff just because I've had this, like, super Muslim upbringing. And I can feel a bit weird when I have a lot of skin showing or a lot of shape showing. I just don't feel comfortable, you know? And so becoming like a sexual being, that was really interesting. In light of what I just said, it was just like, I didn't even know how to like handle it, you know? Like, I had no precedent for it. All I was used to doing was covering up, you know? And here was this like super intelligent, super good looking, tall, broad shouldered, you know, like popular as fuck. Every girl wanted this guy, like everyone we knew, everyone we had known, everyone, you know, like it was just crazy. And to have that person be smart enough, you know, because you would think that someone who had all those things would probably just be coasting off of that. But like, that's the thing that makes Virgo so exceptional, is that they can be so many things at once. You know, that's that mutability. They can be really, really good at many, many things. Like, you can be a good man and be successful in your career. Things like that. That's what I mean by good at many things. I don't mean like the way Geminis are. I mean that they can excel in various facets of life. Some people are really good at being successful, but like are shitty people, you know, like they're really good at making money, but they're super shitty people, or they're really good people and they're super shitty at managing their lives and can't provide for, you know, the people they love. So Virgos have a tendency to excel in several facets. So he wasn't just this like popular, smart guy, who got like all the chicks and all the attention. He was actually like a really kind, smart person as well, like a good person, you know. And I think I think because he was 4 years older and so intelligent, he picked up really early on just how like I didn't know how to be like vulnerable like that. Like, it sounds kind of silly and weird, you know, in the culture that we live in. Like, I'm hesitant to say it, which is funny, because it doesn't seem that weird to me, but just having to say it out loud seems a bit weird. But I didn't know how to like just be naked, you know, like not even just like covered up naked, just like just to be like naked around, like I don't know, like I don't know. And he picked up on it so quickly, didn't make a big deal out of it, and found a way to relieve my like apprehension about it by just being really funny and being really humorous and just making me laugh so much that I became physically very comfortable, just because I was laughing and just so comfortable that it stopped bothering me, or it stopped being weird to me. And that summer just became this like concentrated, you know, this is how it feels when someone takes really good care of you. This is how it feels when someone like really cares about you and really wants you and really is also thinking about you and thinking about what's best for you. It was great. It was super great. But then in the fall, I went away to college for the first time. He went back to school to get his master's back up where he had gone to school. And there was, you know, like it was such a crossroads kind of, we have the summer thing. But interestingly, what I go into in the second part is how that particular situation and the one that followed that I don't really go into there, so I can, guess I can kind of touch on it here, gave me an idea. They healed me. They helped me. They evolved me, for sure. But in a way that I don't... in a way that was necessary, but it was just as necessary to not be with them. Like, they're for me, Virgos have been lessons, not relationships. And the Virgos that have managed to stay in my life and be, and that I'm really, really close to, are the ones where we've smoothly transitioned from, we used to like date, or we used to be in love with each other, but now we just love each other. You know, that's been wonderful. Because what I realized from that experience, which was so nice, and so fun on so many levels and so smart, you know, one of the things I said in the thing that was deleted was, this guy, right? This Virgo, it was like 95, the year I graduated from high school. One of the things I liked about him so much was that he had a recording of Ulysses. His answering machine was him reading aloud from James Joyce's Ulysses. And I was just so enamored with that. I was like, ah! And then a couple of weeks after we got together, I asked him how he felt, and you know, 18, just so dumb, and he said, well, I'm just so enamored with you, I don't know what to do. And I was like, you don't know what to do? He was like, no, I can't think. And I was like, ooh, Virgo that can't think, interesting. But yeah, what I realized was that although it was so wonderful, and although the experience after that was also so wonderful and has turned into such a great friendship, there is a distance and a disconnect that I could never bridge, and I just kept waiting for that bridge to appear, and I've realized that it never does. And that hermit card really is, you know, it's perfect, because there's just a solitary nature there that cannot be pierced. And I don't think that works for me personally. I think it makes for a very good lesson. I think it pushes me forward my evolution. I think it makes for a very good friend. But for me personally, it just never got real enough, except in moments where they would lose control. And I was like, okay, finally they're being real, but they hated it, you know? So it's like, are you going to keep pushing someone into a state where they're being something you want, but they hate it, you know, or you let them be who they want to be and you hate it? It just really doesn't leave much room for compromise, you know? And to a Virgo, that's a really unfair choice to have to make, because they're like, well, both are authentic, right? Like, I have to be a certain way because I have to be that way. Like, that's the world, and that's how you move in the world, and that's what it is. But I also have feelings, and this is how I feel. And you know, there's a dichotomy there, but they don't see it that way. They, to them, that's very logical. Like, this is how the world works, grow up, you know? Whereas I'm of the mind that I want to know what's behind all of this. I want to go to the grit, you know, and you start talking to Virgos about grit, and they're like, no. Grit is what we use to polish this marble. We don't hold on to the grit. And I'm like, bullshit. Because under the marble foundation and under that, you're still building into the dirt, right? You still poured that foundation into the dirt. I want to know what's under the foundation. I want to see the dirt, you know? And Virgos are like, why? Like, this is so unnecessary. I haven't done all this work and built all of this for you to go looking for the dirt. Like, what's wrong with you? You know, like, can't you just leave good enough alone, like, well enough alone with why do we need to do this? And we're going to have to check that in ourselves this season. You know, a big part of course, like, I go into the end of this podcast, a big part of it is, like, doing your job, knowing your job, staying in your lane. But also understanding that no matter how tall our ivory towers get and how important our job is and how singularly important we may be to human evolution, nothing short of human evolution, it still does not give us a right to isolate in that tower. We still have to understand the merit of getting to the grit of who we are. And we still have to be grateful for the people who can push that out of us. Because make no mistake, there are people out there who would love to be triggered, and nobody cares about them or loves them enough to trigger them. I know that sounds really weird, but you know, the only people that are going to challenge you, the only people that are going to take you to that point where they rock the boat so much that you really got to think about, like, what you want to save, or if you're just going to jump off the boat, you got to thank those people in your life, especially for the Virgos that are listening. You got to thank the people that throw you off, because they're helping you. They're helping you come out of that perfection ivory tower thing, that isolated thing. They're forcing you perhaps to connect, which isn't pleasant, but you still need it, and you have to understand that you attract it because you need it. So if you're a Virgo that finds yourself being like, fuck, why do I keep attracting all these crazy fucking situations? Like, every Virgo who's been in love with me is like, why did I do this to myself? Like, how did this happen to me? And I'm like, bro, you totally wanted me in your life. You were dying for me to come into your life. No wonder you were so miserable. You needed some fun. You know, what is this? Like, working all day and tinkering with stuff. Like, what about life? What about life? You want to go, like, take a ride on the beach or something? What about life? Let's go do something. Like, let's go eat somewhere. You know, snap out of it. Like, get out of your head. And there are various forms of that. But it's important for us to have a lot of respect for ourselves and a lot of esteem, because we have such an important job, and Virgo season makes us feel very important, very beautiful, and all the rest of it. But it's also important for us to understand that we need connections, and sometimes people who forge those connections with us can seem a bit too much for us and our very sensitive boundaries in Virgo season. So having said that and recanted that story, I hope you've been caught up and are primed for what is essentially the real podcast, which is right now. Loves, yous. Sorry about that. My child called. Interesting timing. I have now slouched down into the perfectly folded piles of clothing. Also very Virgo. It's like, you're gonna do it. You're gonna do it all the way. Whether we're going to do it, we're going to do it perfectly, or we're going to fuck up perfectly. So where was I? This is a fantastic experience. I've just gotten really lucky, I feel, like, in my life with the experiences I've had. They've all been, like, out of, like, a Fellini movie or something. Everything has been very poetic. Most of it has been very kind. Even the really painful stuff has been done in a way that it wasn't, like, horrific, you know? So I guess then the most interesting thing left to say about that particular relationship, other than maybe the thing to focus on, is that it helped shape me, because I didn't even realize how insecure I was about some things until this guy, right? This high school, post high school, senior, summer of senior year, sweetheart kind of thing guy. Every time he would point something out and be like, God, you know, this, or God, that, I'd be like, no, stop. That's, like, not even true. And I think after the first couple of times, he was like, how do you not, like, realize, like, how are you arguing with me that you have incredible legs? Like, you have incredible legs. Why are you arguing with me? And I think after a few times of that happening, he realized that I had all these, you know, body conscious, like, issues. And they weren't really, and I think he also realized what they stemmed from. Very intelligent, super smart. It wasn't that I was body conscious, like body shamed, and like I felt like my body was ugly or something. I just was raised in such a Muslim household that I felt very uncomfortable showing any part of my body. I just wasn't one of those kids that felt like, excuse me, rebelling against that. I didn't like run out of the house with a mini skirt in my bag, you know, that I was going to change into. That was definitely not me. I was for sure changing out of the clothes I was wearing at home, but I was changing into like even more like hood clothes, not, you know, not like hoey clothes. So I don't know, just being, you know, like naked around someone. It was just like, I didn't even realize how uncomfortable that would make me, how like I, you know, it just was just like, ah, what is this? Like, I feel so vulnerable and exposed. What the hell? I hate this. And the way that I exhibited that was that every time he would say something about like my body, Virgo, like very, you know, earth centered, I would just like react with this, like, no, come on, that's not even true. Like, don't even say that. Like, what are you saying? Stop it. You know, like, what are you even saying? And he was smart enough to realize that it wasn't an insecurity, that was definitely like cultural and religion based. And just like kind of learned how to work around it. And I think about it now as like a super adult, you know, as a mom and blah, blah, blah. And it's interesting to me to look back on it with the body of knowledge that I have now, because the way he got around it was that he would make me laugh, and like laugh uncontrollably. Like if he figured out that I thought something was funny, he would just keep at it and like keep riffing off of it until I was like in stitches, and then he would say something super body positive to me and I would just be able to like digest it and not fight it. And he just kept doing that a lot. Needless to say, I fell in love with him. Of course, like how could you not when someone's like, you know, putting this much effort into healing you and caring for you and making you feel like you're the center of the world, you know, and in some ways like breaking their own rules to make you feel like the center of the world, which like I'm so ashamed to say it, is why I like them so much. But it's like, again, why I also like Scorpio so much. How to approach this. Okay, so the New York Times Magazine did an entire issue on female sexuality years back. I can't even say now, probably about 10 years ago. And it was about a lot of things, but one of the things it centered on was the pharmaceutical industry's search for a female Viagra and how that had, the research for such a substance had led them down some very interesting paths. And those paths all had to do with defining female sexuality. So before you can turn something on, you got to know what it is, right? With men, that seems pretty simple. Blood flow. And you would think it would be as simple for women. You know, you have like clitoral blood flow and friction, and that should be good enough. But somehow it isn't. And so it took, the research went down some really interesting paths. And what, over the course of many studies and much data that was crunched, the conclusion that was reached was that female sexuality, if it can be defined at all, seems to have something to do with how far another will venture outside of the norms and how much they are willing to risk to get to you. the harder it is to get to you, the more rules you, let me put it the other way. The harder it is for you to get to me, the more rules you have to break, the more hurdles you have to jump, the more people you have to challenge and defeat, or whatever the obstacles are, right, that you have to undergo to get to me, defines how turned on I am by you. So it's really ego-based is what they figured out. So your level of commitment and what you are willing to risk to get to me is what turns me on, because really it's a reflection of how hot you think I am. Which is amazing. Because it totally makes sense. It totally makes sense. In that situation, you know, what I realized at 18, when the first thing he said to me was, "How old are you now?" I realized, without realizing at the time, now with what I know, but at that time, just instinctively, I knew that he had been waiting the whole time he had known me, just for like that day. And it definitely turned me on. Because it was like a hurdle that he could not jump over, and he was so respectful and just like literally acted like I wasn't around, would not look at me, would not engage me, like except for like, "You're sitting on the amp, get off the amp." Like I felt very respected, and yet I was really turned on. It's super cool, and I need that, because if I don't feel respected, I can't be turned on. It's weird. Like, I'm just not one of those people that, like, can be treated like shit and then, like, fuck somebody. Like, my body wouldn't work. My body, without me even wanting to, would, like, slap that person or punch them or something. Like, I need both of those things. I need respect to even be, like, in a sexual mindset, if that makes sense. So maybe that's another reason why I fuck with Virgos so much, because they're so respectful. Very aware of boundaries and respectful of boundaries. And that's why I think they're always appalled with people's behavior, because people walk all over each other's boundaries and it's disgusting. And that's usually the word that Virgos are using in their head for when people do that to each other. It's disgusting. Like, as in, it makes them go, "Yuck." Right? So that was awesome. And then, I had to go away to college for the first time ever. And he was going to go back to where he had gone to school to get his master's. And that was the end of that. And it was like, I don't know. It set me up really well in that, like, I felt great about myself and I had a lot of fun, and now I had this experience and, you know, all that, and that was great. But it also gave me a really good idea of what I didn't want again. And that seems weird, right? Because, like, everything I said was so positive, and it was all really positive, but part of what made it so fun was that it was like being around a friend, because there's always this like distance with Virgos. Like, they're just so internal, that you can feel alone in their presence, which is awesome if you like being alone. And I do like being alone, so that it works out. But I like being alone, but I also like feeling really, really, really deeply connected. So after that, I went away to college. I was ceremoniously kicked out. We'll go into that in another podcast. Might have assaulted somebody physically. Anyway, that bitch really fucking deserved it though. But anyway, okay. Another time. I come back home and I meet a Scorpio that I end up having, like, that I marry, because, like, you know, my mom, like, made me or whatever the fuck. We talked about that already. And then a few months after that happens, that joke happens, I meet like the Scorpio. And immediately I was like, oh, this is what was missing. You know, like this is it. This is what I didn't feel with the Virgo. Like I felt so many things and I was like so in love and all this, but there was just this emptiness. There was this distance that just couldn't be crossed, and I couldn't define why, because I didn't feel that way with anyone else in my life. And so I was like really wondering if that was just the nature of being in a sexual relationship. Like, is that just how you are when you're in a sexual relationship? Is the person just kind of removed, you know? Because the connection was definitely there physically, right? And the connection was there intellectually. Like, we talk about shit. There's obviously like a lot of humor, a lot of laughing. But I mean like... I mean feeling. I mean like, you know, your heart is like beating so loud that like you can hear it in your ears, and it's just because you're like looking at this person. You're you know, like you could either like tear them to shreds or like, I don't know what I'm trying to say. But I'll put it this way. So when I met this Scorpio, that I've alluded to earlier as being like this ongoing situation, the thing that I didn't feel, or the thing that I was wondering, is like, oh, is this just what sexual relationships are like? Is that thing just missing? Because how can you have that with other people? I have deep connections. But then when I met the Scorpio, I was like, oh no, actually this is very possible. And so I learned what I didn't want is that when I spotted the opposite in someone, I was like, okay, yeah, that is what I want. And what is that? It's a willingness to give oneself over. And I'm not sure how annoying that is, because it's a bit vague. There is a surrender that can happen between people when you meet. Like me and that Scorpio, when we met, it was just instant. It was like the moment we saw each other, we were like, oh shit, hey, like, where you been, man? Like, I've been suffering out here, where you been? but it was like a complete giving over. There was nothing on the other side of that. And you know, Scorpios love their secrets, so you'd think that there'd be some like holding back, some dark corner, some... But it wasn't about that. It wasn't like he just told me everything. He didn't have to. It's just like in his eyes. You could just see it. It's like a complete connectedness. Like, I'm right here. Whether I want to be or not is not even a question. Like, I probably would rather not be, but I am beholden to this. Like, I have to be here. I'm here. And with Virgos, it always seems like a choice. They can take it or leave it. And that always has made me uneasy. I don't like the idea of someone having the choice to love you or not. That makes me really uncomfortable, actually. And mostly because I know it. Mostly because as a Virgo moon, I've done it. I've absolutely consciously chosen not to love someone and just like walked away from them and just be like, fuck it. But I think that was just my idea of love that I was walking away from. I don't think I was actually walking away from real love, because I think the only person I've really, really loved, I've never been able to walk away from. So... I think that Virgos are really good at pleasing people and healing people and being charming and being social, and all of that can add up to a lot of people falling in love with them. But I think a lot of times they'll make do with being loved by someone who thinks they're charming and wonderful and perfect, even if they don't really feel anything back, or if they don't feel something comparable back, you know. But on the other hand, they have a tendency to fall in love with people who don't love them. So it's either someone is in love with them who they don't love really, or they don't like really love, you know. They're just like kind of, this person is really dazzled by the show and it's great and it's wonderful. And I don't mean show in that it's insincere. It's just, you know, it's well done, but it's, you know, it's a show. It's an authentic show. Either they're with people like that, that are just taken in by that and like adore them and they don't, you know, they could either, you know, take it or leave it, or they're with someone who constantly makes them question themselves and their worth, and then so they get stuck in this cycle of wanting to prove that person wrong or somehow wanting to be good enough for that person. So they mistakenly place that person's fickleness and their, you know, manipulation with affection as a goal. They set that person's manipulative tactics as their goal to reach, and that's really, really, really dangerous. And you know Virgos like this. You know Virgos who are in extremely toxic situations with someone who makes them feel like they're just not good enough, and they keep having to pedal faster and harder to try to keep up, and you're wondering, why are you even trying to meet this person's expectations? They're a douchebag. You're so much better than this, and yet you see them unfailingly keep going. That would belie some sort of connection, wouldn't it? But again, I don't think it's about that for them. I really don't. I think even then, it's about proving yourself. It's accomplishment based. And I, over the years, like, there have been other Virgo relationships, and it's always been that. There's always this distance. And I don't know. You wait for it to go away, and in a lot of ways it does, and then you wait for it to melt further because you're just like thinking, of course it has to, it must, you know, at some point they'll be like all the way relaxed or whatever. And then it doesn't happen, and you start to realize that they're just kind of like that. And then, yeah, it's like, you know, when you realize that like Scorpios are actually dangerous, you know, that moment where you look at the Scorpio in your life and you're like, oh wow, like you could actually kill me probably, like that moment where you like realize that they're actually like psychopathic in some ways, or can be if they let themselves. It's like that. It's like that moment where you realize like, aha, this is just how you are. Or like if you've ever caught a Gemini talking about someone or talking about you, or someone's caught them talking about someone, and you're just like, oh, this is how you are. This is just how the fuck you are, huh? You know, where you catch someone in their element. So let's see. The next time that happened where I was completely stunned by a Virgo, I threw up. Yeah, I threw up on him, and it was cool. It was embarrassing as fuck. And yeah. Yeah, that, I think once you know and understand the distance, you can really appreciate them as people. And I think, as sad as this is to say, the people that can appreciate them most are the ones who don't try to be with them. Because I think what any person wants in terms of a partner, there's a few things that any person would want in a partner that they have a really hard time compromising on. And sometimes even when they do compromise and they say they love it, inside they're not loving it. And those are things that I can't compromise on, you know? So at least for my personality type, which is I'm definitely a possessive person, I'm a, you know, like all those things, like I'm a commitment-based person. For me, I don't want just a commitment from you where you're just not sleeping with other people. That's just not good enough for me. I need you to be actively in love with me every day. That's what I mean about the Scorpio is obsessive connection. Like every time I look at him, he's looking at me like, yo, I'm fucking in love with you. Like, yes. Keep that energy. Give me that same intensity all the time. Like, and you know what? If that's too much for you, that's cool. That's cool because that means that you're having to put it on if that's too much for you. I don't want to be with someone who needs to turn it on. I want to be with someone who can't turn it off. You know what I'm saying? Like, you see the difference there? Like, this Scorpio dude couldn't stop loving me if he tried. Like, he can't. He just can't. Like, he can't. He just can't. And there's, like, Virgos out here that I've messed with that like, they could turn it on, you know? And they can give you the whole, like, holy shit, I'm completely in love with you. I'm looking at you like this. I'm acting like this, whatever. But, like, and they'll get up at like 4 a.m. and go get you bottled water because you don't want to drink the filter shit. Definitely, for real, for sure, for sure. And that is a way, that is indicative of their obsession with you. That is indicative of how much they like you. I get it. But then you're going to shut down later and be upset because you had to go out at 3, you know, at 4 a.m. Whereas, like, in that same scenario, someone who's, like, super obsessed and, like, connected to you, what I require in a relationship, that person is making fun of me later for making them go out at 4 a.m. to get the water and, like, telling me how cute I am and how much they want to fuck me. No, I'm serious. These are my... These are my requirements. I want you to be happy about the fact that I sent you out in the middle of the night to get water. Why? Because you get to be with me. What's the problem here? Like, why are you... Yo, let's be fucking real. What, you should be doing fucking jumping jacks for no reason. No, I'm serious. You should be fucking doing jumping jacks for no reason if you get to be with me. Let alone if you gotta get up to go get water. And what does your fucking dusty ass want to drink fucking tap water for anyway? Don't you need to be hydrated too? Go get the fucking water, please. You know? Scorpio is so smart that the fucking fridge would be stocked already. Like, bitch, if I'm going to be over there, there's going to be a bunch of water in the fridge already. Don't worry about it. Go get you what water? Go look in the fridge, bitch. I had that shit sent over earlier. It's that Norwegian shit you like, so shut up. You see? You see? You see? So, for me, it became over time, I just realized, like, especially the second time around with the throw-up situation, I was just so nervous. Oh, my God, Lord, I didn't know what I was doing. I felt like I was going to puke and faint. I puked several times earlier in the day because I knew I would be seeing this person. Like, I was just a fucking hot-ass mess. Like, no, my body wasn't listening to me on any level. Like, my stomach was turning every few minutes. Oh, Lord, I was talking to myself. I don't know. My entire system was like going through like restart, shutdown, reboot. Like I was short circuiting. Hella short circuiting, bro. And then I puked. But after that situation, I realized that from that particular situation, what I realized was like, geez, like these guys make really good friends. Like they're actually legit really good friends. And they make, like, pretty sucky boyfriends for, like, what I want personally. You know, for a lot of people out there, they really like a very calm, gets the stuff on the checklist done, loves me, fucks me good. You know, like, that's good. Like, yo, I'm happy, bitch. Don't rock this boat. Like, we good over here. And I get you, and I feel you, and I'm happy for you. Like, I'm right there. Like, good for you. Yo, yes. All I can say is yes. I agree with you. For me though, you know, I like that whole like knock on the door at like 3 a.m. like, what are you doing here? I don't know. I couldn't stay away from you. Like my car's parked outside. What do you mean it's parked outside? I left it standing outside. Why? Because I want to take you downtown. Where? Let's go get us some light. Okay, fine. I don't want, like, checks all the boxes. Like, you got to check all the boxes, for sure, for sure. But I don't want it to just be, like, that wholesome, like, boom, 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 boom. Okay, okay, all the things. We got all the things. Like, and Virgos love that. They love checking all the boxes and having all the things. And it's like, once they do that, they're like, I like having all the boxes checked. But the dude's like, it's like, you know what it's like? It's exactly like that Scorpio. It's like when he's wearing a suit, he looks like the most, well, not normal because he's so fine that he never looks normal. He looks like a fly-ass, very successful man. That's it. That's the only way to put it. Like a fine-ass dude that like any woman of any complexion would be like, uh-huh. Why don't you bring those shoulders over here? But underneath, because you can't see anything else. All you can see is like clean cut, you know, like nothing, nothing. Just like a normal guy in a suit. Not a normal guy, but like a guy in a suit. But then you take the suit off and it's like he's tatted from the neck down, from the wrist up, from the, like, it's like just tats, tats, tats everywhere. So, you know, it's check all the boxes for sure-sies. But for sure-sies is my new thing, actually. Actually, my new thing is putting S's on the end of everything. Shout out the Oakland Satsang. If you were at the Oakland Satsang and you heard me say this live, it's for sure-sies my thing. it's going to catch on. You'll see. So it's definitely checking all the boxes. But then there's this element of like, but I'm also nuts. But you also don't know what the fuck I'm going to do. So just behave yourself. And I think I kind of need that, because what Virgos do is they check all the boxes and then they're like, I checked all the boxes. You good? And I'm like, no, I'm actually about to misbehave and like wreck your life. And they're like, but why? I did everything. Why? Wait, don't. No, Umber, don't. I just folded and balanced everything. Don't rock the boat. Everything will fall down. And I'm like, come on, let's rock the boat a little bit. It's like, no, come on, don't. But my thing is, they love when the boat gets rocked because nobody ever rocks their boat. So they love when the boat gets rocked, but then everything falls and they get upset because they got to fold it and put it back again. Meanwhile, you know, the Scorpio will fold everything and put it away and be really nice about it. And you start to rock the boat and they're like, don't rock the boat. And you're like, no, I'm gonna rock the boat. Wait, I'm gonna rock the boat. And they're like, yo, don't, like, I'm gonna come over there. Don't make me go, don't rock this fucking boat. And if you rock it, and their shit falls, and they're coming for you, let me tell you, you're gonna have some fun. Either you're gonna fight, which is cool, because that means you're gonna fuck later. Or you're just going to fuck because you have an understanding. So you already know that this is foreplay. Or you're going to fight and it's going to be really bad because they get really mad because they have some sensitive shit because they on their fucking period. Scorpio men literally get their period. Like, there's like 1 week a month where you can't talk to a Scorpio dude because he's just fucking in his feelings about fucking everything. So if he's like really in his feelings, then you're gonna fight. It's gonna be really bad. And then you're just gonna end up fucking for like the next 3 days. So you see what I'm saying? It's just a win-win. With the Scorpios, you rock the boat. It's just win-win-win. You rock the boat with Virgos, they might come over and play with you a little bit and be like, haha, that was fun. You know, I have very high self-esteem, so that didn't really get me. I'll just fold the stuff and put it back again. So no problem. You're cute. Keep doing you. That was cool. You got my blood going. You know, thank you very much. I feel alive. And then they go put everything back. And the second time you do it, they're like, listen, that was really cool when you did that. Remember that time that you did that before, just before? And I was like, that was cool. Yeah, I didn't mean that you should keep doing that. Like, crossing that line was funny. Haha. And you're cute and like, you know, we had some good sex because of that. And like, you know, I get it. It's foreplay for you and that's cool. But I'm not really into that. And I don't want to fold this shit again. So stop knocking my life over. Okay. And find a new way to flirt or engage me because I'm not really liking this. And like my mischievous Gemini ass is like, hold on 1 second. I can't hear you over the boat rocking. And they're like, no, I'm just telling you how I don't like this. The cool thing is, if it's not a Virgo or a Scorpio, if it's like, for example, if it's a Leo, well, if it's a Leo, they would have just jumped out of the boat and been like, okay, I'm going to swim. You know what? Fuck you. Like, you too much. And Aries, you would never play that game with, because you would rock the boat and they would rock it more, just because, and then everybody would drown. A Sagittarius would talk you out of it and make you realize that it's in your best interest not to rock the boat. And then you'd get into some sort of an intellectual discussion with them, and then you'd end up wanting to sleep with them. I don't see how a Cancer would ever find themselves in that situation. Cancers are so, like, sideways. They would just walk out of the situation before their boundaries were ever crossed. They'd be like, oh, word, bye. Sorry, no one's home. This shell is empty. Pisces. Pisces is one of my fun signs that in my life. They're my fun people. And in that situation, the Pisces would be like, fuck the boat. Let's just jump in the water. Well, fuck the boat altogether. What is all this? The things you're folding, this boat? None of this is fucking real. Fuck all of it. You know, completely fantastical. Amazing. I think a Capricorn would probably just tell you to shut the fuck up and sit down, and you'd probably listen, you know, because they probably know that there's, like, piranha in the water. It's like, my brother is the type who'd be like, yeah, I know you like doing this, but this time there's piranhas in the water. Shut the fuck up and sit down. And I probably would. Yeah, Libras are funny because Libras can balance you out or they can really fire you up. It really depends on if they like you or not. If they like you, they'll definitely go along for the ride. If they don't like you, they'll definitely try to read you and put you in your place, which is what I like about them. I love how subjective they are. Like, Libras are always trying to front, like, they're so objective and they're like, you know, justice with the scales, but no, they're really not. If a Libra don't like somebody, it doesn't matter what that person does. The Libra's like, I hate her. So that one's really could go either way. If it's a Libra that liked you, they'd be like, rock this fucking boat. Let's throw everything overboard. Let's fucking light this shit on fire, bro. And if they don't like you, they'd be like, this is, like, so immature. You should grow up. Anyway, so much for that one. We overused that one for sure. But because, and of course, there are many of you thinking right now, you know, a relationship really doesn't have to be defined like that. And I get that. That's just how I define my relationships. I don't know what it is. I just like to, I guess it is it is how they say, how the astrologies say that, Geminis are just mischievous. Because I really can't give you a reason for why I do it. I don't know. It's just fun. It's just really fun. Yeah, that's really it. I've often, like, asked people, you know, there's this certain way that I laugh that I cannot make myself laugh that way. I only laugh that way when I know I'm doing something wrong. Why? And I remember telling a friend, I'm like, and you know what I'm afraid of? She's like, what? I'm like, I'm afraid because that laugh is, like, my true laugh. Like, that's when I'm, like, the happiest. She went, did you just say that you're the happiest when you're doing something wrong? I was like, I think so. What's wrong with me? Help me. So I think that's why, again, I think that's why that Scorpio has had such a hook in me for so long, because it's, like, fun for him to watch me pretend to do shit wrong. You know, because I wouldn't actually, because I don't want to die, you know? Like, I'm not looking for all that smoke. But, like, to pretend, you know, to walk, like, get really close to that line, like, kind of walk that edge and be like, ah, 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 ah. Yeah, and not get mad at me for it. and not take it personally. And that's how the Virgos have always taken it. That's why they're better as friends than boyfriends, because as friends, they just think it's funny when you do that and they're down for it. You know, as a friend, a Virgo's like, oh, you want to rock the boat? Well, you know, if you rock the boat at this time of the day, you know, in the middle of the river instead of towards the side, and if you use this and this and this, and if we stand on this side of the boat and you stand on that side of the boat, we could probably rock it pretty fast. You know, like, they'll go for it with you and they're awesome. But as soon as they're your partner, it's a different thing, you know. And they take it personally. They get their feelings hurt real bad, you know, because they're like, no, like, we're together. You can't do that. Like, that's not, don't do that to me. It's okay if you do that to other people, but don't do that to me, you know? So for me, at least, they make really, really good friends, but that sensitive aspect right there, it's they're like, I've always said this, like, they're sensitive about that because they just don't understand me. Like, if you understood what I was doing, I don't think you'd take it that way, but you just don't get me. And, like, with Scorpios, I've never had to explain it. Like, I do really mischievous shit, and they're just like, I see you. I'm like, you do? Are you mad? No. You dummy, I'm not mad. You're stupid. And it's like, the way this guy puts it always, he's like, you're not even really doing anything wrong. Like, you just like to fuck around. You just like to pretend like you do a shit wrong. Like, whatever. I don't mind this. So I think it's, you know, it's a compatibility thing. And all that is to say, you know, we're coming into Virgo season here. We're in it now. And I finally understood what that distance is about. When your job is the job that keeps everyone else alive, you don't have the luxury of being as vibrant as a Leo and then burning out. You don't have the luxury of being as determined as an Aries and being alone. You don't have the luxury of being as connected as a Gemini and not really responsible for much else. You are responsible for something that requires all your focus and all your attention, and it has to be done no matter how you feel. And so a lot of your own feelings and thoughts can get put on the back burner, where they can loop, because you have a job to do in the front of your brain and it has to be done no matter what. That is Virgo season. That is Virgos. And why? Again, because their job is so important. It is the most important job. Make no mistake. In our survival, in our evolution, in the evolution of the size of our brains, all of this has to do with agriculture. All of this has to do with, well, with agriculture came civilization. And how appropriate for Virgo to be given the job that creates the civilized, because they are so incredibly civilized, no? Agriculture and being able to harvest and store and ration out grain requires a very mathematical, analytical mind, but it also requires a steel of strength when it comes to duty and a kindness and a compassion for people. Because if you didn't have that mix of qualities, you wouldn't give a fuck enough to get the job done, because it is a tedious and difficult job. And in some ways, thankless, because when it's done right, no one notices that you've done it. Because there is never a lack. And you can see where the pitfalls here are then. Because when that is your job and you take a great amount of pride in it, as Virgos do in any work they do, and as they should, because they are so focused and so good at whatever they apply themselves to. When you are that way, it is very easy to become a victim of people's manipulation, who tie you into some sort of loop or cycle of doing for them to prove something, or doing for them because your nature is being manipulated and tapped into. So a lot of Virgos find themselves getting really hurt, getting really played, getting really mistreated because the other person knows their level of commitment and loyalty to a thing. You know, like, I've been very honest. That's why I juxtaposed, you know, the Virgos and the Scorpio, because the Virgos never did anything. Like, they never did anything wrong. You know, it's not like they're bad guys. It's just, I need something different. I need something that a lot of people would consider way, way immature, I guess. You know, I think I've just seen too many Bollywood movies, and, like, I have, like, a thing for, like, guys who were drug dealers in their teenage years. I don't know, man. I got a whole other shit going on. But they're very civilized men, you know, and women, very civilized and very kind. So they can often find themselves in situations where they're very, very badly treated because someone uses their disconnected nature or their distance as an excuse to do all types of horrible stuff, and as an excuse to tie them into some sort of cycle where they're always expected to give more. And in a lot of times, Virgos will find themselves thinking, I can't give anymore. I don't have any more to give. I'm, like, literally giving you everything I have. What do you mean give more? And the partner may not be, you know, a monster. They may mean exactly what I meant when I say that there's just this disconnect. So I feel like to be with a Virgo is a very specific thing, and it requires a lot of care, and it requires a lot of responsibility on your part, because you have to understand that in their nature, and you have to like it. Just like, you know, there are people, at least one person in the world, who likes that I get angry the way that I do, who thinks it's hilarious. You want to find somebody who isn't going to use your distance against you. You want to find someone who will love that about you and will love that you are so self-sustaining. And, you know, and that's not hard to find. There's a lot of guys who love the idea of an emotionally independent woman, you know? Lots of guys and girls who love the idea of emotionally independent men and women and other, everyone is what I mean. So there is logic then to how picky they are, right? Because they have to be. Because there are those who will get taken in by the charm, but will not understand the distance in their nature and will not appreciate it. And then it's too late because, you know, the Virgo's fallen in love and then they're just getting hurt left and right and they don't know what to do. It can get bad. It can get super bad. Yeah. And during Virgo season, this is all stuff that we need to keep in mind, because it can be easy to be manipulated this time of year. Seasons are going to change. We start to get a little sentimental, a bit nostalgic, a bit emotional. And we long for some comfort, I think. Just, you know, evolutionary stuff. It's getting colder, leaves are changing, romantic time of year is around the corner. We've got that Venusian Libra season after. It's all, you know, it all goes that way. And Virgo season brings some emo out of us, mutable earth. And so I think it's appropriate this time of year to take on those really sublime Virgo qualities. You know, just the wit, the charm, the beauty of it all, the work they put into it, the discipline of it, the passion behind the work, behind the dedication, all of it. I think it's great to tap into that vein right now. And it's also important to perhaps recognize within ourselves where that distance is and where it's healthy and necessary and needed, and where perhaps we're using that distance to hide from making connections with people and from really opening up. You know, my last relationship that obviously ended disastrously, so Virgo hadn't really connected with anyone in years. Just didn't. And was fine with it. And yeah. Didn't even know what he was missing until he had it and was like, wow, this is what this feels like. And I was like, wow, have you never felt this before? Like, what's going on? It is an appropriate time of year to look at those disconnects within yourself and what's hiding behind them. You know, usually it's some, when we move back, when we take a step back from something, especially from ourselves, it's because something has scared us, disgusted us, which is also just fear in another way. And because we will be so focused, because we will be so honest and open and forthcoming, I think it's a good time of year to explore that within ourselves and perhaps get a little bit warmer, get a little bit closer, get a little bit past just the veneer and the sociability of it all, and really, you know, open up a little bit. Maybe not to everyone else, maybe just to yourself. You know, that's the other thing I've often observed about Virgos. People feel like they're so removed, but they're that way with themselves too. It's not like they're, you know, chatting away when they're alone or like, you know, or they're having like tons of fun when they're by themselves. They're doing the same shit that they're doing when you see them, you know? That like sort of isolated thing that they got, that ivory tower thing, it's all the time. That's not an act. That's just how they are. It's part of their vibe. So maybe then the thing to explore is how that ivory tower vibe can work for you and where perhaps we need to climb down or at least let your hair down so someone can climb up, you know? And I think that's what this season is going to be about. I think that's going to be a lot of good stuff happening for everyone. Things are turning around. Things are starting to move the right way. And there will be some moments of glorious insight and progression and evolution of yourself. And you'll know it. You'll feel it. You'll have the moment and go, ah, this was it. Okay, yeah. And I'm excited for it. It's a wonderful time of year. It's gorgeous. It's one of my favorite times of year. Gemini season and Virgo season are my two favorite times of year. For sure, Z's. For sure, Z's. Well, I guess that's about it. Not as scandalous as I was thinking it would be. Or maybe that first part is hella scandalous. But yeah, videos. Today was Eid. Today was a religious holiday, so everything got pushed back a little bit, and I leave for Atlanta tomorrow. So, videos go up a little bit closer to September than I had anticipated. Bear with me. They will be bomb. Virgo manifestation should be up within the next 2 days, but let's see how that goes. Inshallah, inshallah. Fingers crossed. That's about it. Shout out everybody for continuing to make this podcast such a hit. It has just been a pleasure. I don't know, man. You guys are just so on it and you're so receptive and the feedback is so awesome. I love it. Like, I love everything about this and the fact that it's growing and there's more and more and more of us like hanging out on this platform. It's so dope. Yeah. Yeah, we're going to get into, let's see, what should we talk about next week? Next week, let's finally start getting into the basic psycho-cybernetic concepts and how I've been applying them. I think by now everyone should have either listened to it a couple of times or read it once through, so we're all caught up. Now I think is when, you know, when to start getting into the little how-to stuff and, you know, personal anecdotal stuff. See how that helps you. See how we can grow from that. Okay. I love you. See you later.